watch. You know, love is really a beautiful thing, and I'm so glad that each of you are here this morning. And I just want to pray as we begin our Bible teaching. Would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, love really is such a beautiful thing. Thank you so much for the love that is here between the marriages in our church, between our families. And God, I pray today that as we dig into your word, as we look at this teaching from the Bible, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would teach us, and that we would be open. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to invite you to take out your Bibles and open to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to see in this chapter that Paul is talking about lots of different relationships. He has some counsel for believers and how they interact with each other. He has counsel for husband and wives. He has counsel for parents and children, masters and servants. And today, we want to focus in on Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, kind of Paul's summary statement when it comes to marriage. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. It says, "Nevertheless, each individual among you is also to love his own wife even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Last week, if you missed it, Pastor Brian talked about the first part of this verse. Husbands, love your wives. It was a powerful sermon. You can go online to modestosda.org and listen to it if you missed it. I would encourage you to do that. But it was a powerful sermon. And this week, I can just personally testify that my husband did hear the sermon. And more than just hearing it, he was a doer. Not just a hearer, but a doer. Last Sabbath, we actually got to go over to the coast to meet up with my family after church. And usually when we have a long drive, Zach will drive partway and I'll drive the rest. Well, I was so tired, and so he said, "Oh, I'll just drive all the way." So loving, right? Well, when it came time to come home, I thought, this is my turn. Now I have to drive. But I had all this stuff to work on. He said, "I'll drive." And he drove the whole way back again. And then when Wednesday night came around, I was so stressed about trying to get the small group study guide, which you'll find in your bulletin, so you can take notes on for your small group this week. I was stressed in trying to get it done and getting it sent out to all our leaders. And there was Zach again. After a long day, after a busy day, he'd been up early in the morning, been at board meeting till late at night, right there beside me, helping me get it done, giving me ideas so I could send it out. All week, he was there washing the dishes, helping me do things around the house so I could focus on my sermon. So, just for the record, I have the best husband, and I'm so thankful for one that truly loves me. But wives, this week is our turn, right? This week, we're focusing on the second part of that statement in Ephesians chapter 5 that says, husbands, love your wives. And now the second part, wives, respect your husbands. It's kind of interesting here to me that Paul doesn't just say, okay, here's my relationship advice for marriage. Love each other and respect each other. And if he would have said that, that would have been good advice, right? In John 13, Jesus is talking to disciples and he says, "I want you to love one another. Just as I have loved you, love one another." We're both called to love. Later on, in Romans 12, Paul says, "Give preference to one another in showing each other honor." We're both called to respect. But here in Ephesians 5, 33, he doesn't just say, "Love each other, respect each other, everything will be great." Instead, he says, "I want to tell the husbands something specific. Love your wives. And wives, I want to tell you something to do, particularly to respect your husbands." And I wonder this morning that could Paul be emphasizing women's need to respect their husbands because it's really what is lacking. I wonder if, as Pastor Brian said last week, what every woman wants is love. I wonder if what every man wants is really that respect. There is a study done, national study, 400 men were polled, and they said, if you were forced to choose which situation you'd want to be in, which would you choose? Would you rather live unloved and alone in the world, or feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone? When the results came in, and women, this might surprise us, 74% of the men said that they would rather be unloved and alone and dejected rather than feeling inadequate and disrespected. Thus, Paul's command, wives, respect your husband. So just like women have a need for love, I want to encourage us today to take a look at this verse and realize the fact that men have a need for respect. And it's really interesting, this word in Ephesians 5:33, wives, respect your husbands. Do you know what word is used there for respect? It's actually the Greek word phobeo, the word to fear. Just like we're called to fear God, maybe you know the verse in Revelation 14:7, it says, fear God and give him glory. Okay, same word is used there. And just like we're not called to stand, you know, in fear of or be afraid of God, that's not what the Bible's telling us when it comes to husbands. But instead, just like we're called to fear God, to be in awe of God, to give him reverence and respect, that's what the Bible's calling us to do as wives. Have you ever thought about that before? That we're to be in awe of our husbands, that we're called to reverence him, we're called to respect him. Dr. E.V. Hill, he was a dynamic preacher down in Los Angeles, and several years ago, he lost his wife to cancer. And as he was sharing at the funeral, he was noting some ways that she had made him a better man. And I just want to relay the story that he relayed there at the funeral. He said this. He said, I had trouble earning a living as a young preacher. One night I came home and I found the house dark. When I opened the door, I saw that my wife Jane had prepared a candlelight dinner for two. Oh, that's a great idea, I said. I went to the bathroom to wash my hands, but I tried unsuccessfully to turn on the lights. When I felt my way down the hall into the bedroom, I flipped another switch. Darkness prevailed. I went back out to the dining room and said, why is the electricity off? And she began to cry. You work so hard. We're trying, but it's been rough. I didn't have enough money to pay the light bill, and I didn't want you to know. I thought we could just eat by candlelight. As Dr. Hill was describing this at the funeral, what had taken place, he said, she could have said something totally different. She could have said, this has never happened to me before. Don't you realize I grew up in the home of a doctor? We never had our lights cut off. And then he said this. He said, she could have broken my spirit. She could have ruined me. She could have demoralized me. But instead, she said, somehow or another, we'll get these lights on. But tonight, let's just eat by candlelight. Isn't that a beautiful story of respect? I began to realize that as wives, we have the opportunity, we have the privilege to be the ones to support, to encourage, to uplift our husbands. Or we can drag them down by our nagging, our criticizing, our correcting, our focusing on their bad qualities. The choice is really ours. A lot has been written about the love that Napoleon and his wife Josephine shared. And should I just go with this, Mike? Are you going to help me? Thanks. Oh. Sorry, you can see I don't do this as much as these guys. Thanks. All right. So a lot has been written about Napoleon and his wife Josephine. And you might know Napoleon as being one of the greatest military minds in all history, right? Conquered, so powerful. Well, in letters, can you guess who he credited his confidence to? None other but his wife. He said, I credit my wife for fueling my confidence. Respect is such a powerful thing. Just like Pastor Brian talked last week, love does something powerful inside a woman. I would submit today that respect does something powerful inside a man. The presence of respect and also the lack of it. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 4. Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 4. The verse says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. Did you catch that? Let's just read it again. Just one more time. Proverbs 12, verse 4. It says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. Dr. Emerson Eggerich, he wrote the book Love and Respect. It's based off of this verse in Ephesians 5:33. And in the book, he talks about how women have a need for love and how men have a need for respect. And he talks about something called the crazy cycle. And this is what he says. He says, women have a need for love. Men have a need for respect. But often in marriage, this is what happens. The wife disrespects her husband. Feeling disrespected, he reacts in unloving ways. Feeling unloved, she's not about to give him respect, so she disrespects. Feeling disrespected, he's not about to give her love, and he shows unlove. You can see this cycle that goes around and around. I think I actually have it on the screen for you here. So without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he acts without love. And you can imagine this crazy cycle just going further and further and further. But I want you to see the power of respect. That's our sermon title this morning. I want you to see the power of respect. Just change one part of this equation and you get a totally different result. If a woman will choose to begin showing respect to her husband, he starts feeling respected. And when he starts feeling respected, he begins to act out of love. And when a woman says, wow, I feel so loved by my husband, she begins to react respectfully, and on the cycle goes positively. And maybe you find yourself this morning, just to be honest, in the crazy cycle. Maybe you've been a part of the crazy cycle in the past. Maybe you're witnessing someone in the crazy cycle where it seems like it's just spiraling down and down and down. The husband's feeling like, man, she never respects me. The wife is feeling like, ah, the guy never shows me love, and it's just going down. I want to encourage you this morning that respect can break the crazy cycle. That's the power of respect. It can break the crazy cycle. And not only will your husband start feeling like, wow, my wife respects me, but your need for love will start getting met too. But I want to take it a step deeper. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to see an amazing thing here that takes this whole idea of respecting our husbands to a whole new level. May have never realized this verse before, but 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This is what Peter tells the believers. He says, in the same way, wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that even if one of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Did you catch that? So that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, their chaste and respectful behavior. This is pretty powerful. Peter's saying that, hey, women, wives, respect can be more powerful than words. The way we act, the way we react, the way we analyze situations, the way we don't analyze situations, the things we say, the things we don't say, can have a powerful effect. So much so that a wife's respectful behavior can even help win a husband back to Christ. Isn't that powerful? Respect is a powerful thing. Thus, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, our key verse, wives, respect your husbands. Even on the days he's not showing you love, even when he's stressed out about work and doesn't have time to talk to you, even when you've had the worst day ever with the kids, you're about ready to pull your hair out, even when you think he doesn't deserve it. And you know, unconditional respect kind of seems like an oxymoron to a lot of ladies. Why? Because we're the first ones to say, this guy does not deserve it. Do you see how he treats me? Do you see the things he says to me? Do you see the way he puts me down? We're the first ones to say he doesn't deserve it. But let me tell you from my own experience, there are so many times in my marriage that I don't deserve the love my husband gives me. Just on Thursday afternoon, he was there washing the dishes, trying to help me out. I was sitting at the kitchen counter. I was running over ideas for my message with him, trying to get his feedback. And I don't even know what happened. It was going well until, I don't know, I was distressed. He was trying to solve all my problems. I didn't feel like what he was saying made any difference at all. So by the end of it all, I felt more distressed. And I had stressed him out, and it just kind of ended that way. No hurtful words were said. No one was, you know, raising their voice. No mean comments. But it just didn't have that, like, oh, honey, I just, you know, love working with you. You help me so much. It didn't end like that, okay? So a few minutes later, Zach had to leave. He went out for visitation. And when he came home that night, you know what he brought with him? He had stopped by the store. He was thinking of me. And he brought home my favorite vegan tofu-y mint chip ice cream bars just to brighten up my night. Wives, even when they don't deserve it, even when they're not showing you the love they should, we're called to respect our husbands. And it's such a Christ-like principle, isn't it? When did we deserve what Jesus has done for us? When did we deserve his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace? Last time I checked, Jesus came to a world to live, to die, to give his life to people who were totally undeserving. Wives, respect your husbands. But the question this morning is how. And I want to try to get as practical as possible so we can take things home with us this week and say, this is how I can show respect. And you know, respect really starts in the head. Did you know that? What are you thinking about your husband when you see him across the room? Are you thinking, man, what a great guy I have? This guy is so hardworking. He's so capable. He's so loving. He's so cute. He's amazing. Or are your thoughts more along the lines of, this guy is such a slob. He never does anything right. Man, I could do better myself. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't have all these problems. Why does life seem to be so much easier when this guy's out of town? Maybe you've had some of those thoughts before. The reality is that out of the abundance of the heart, do you know what the Bible says? The mouth speaks. What's going on inside, what's happening when I see my husband across the room, the thoughts I'm thinking about him are going to come out. Whether they actually come out in my words, maybe it comes out in the rolling of my eyes, maybe it comes out in my demeanor towards him, it's gonna come out. So how do we respect our husbands? We can focus on the positive things about them. Stories told about a husband and wife, they went in for marriage counseling. They're having a bunch of problems. The wife was so depressed, she didn't even want to live. And they get to the counselor, husband says, you've got to help us. I don't know what I did. I don't have the problem. My wife has the problem. She's so depressed, you've got to help us. Counselor talks to the husband, talks to the wife, talks to them together as a couple. He calls the husband back in and he says, this is what you've got to do if you want this marriage to work. He says, all right. He starts to listen. He said, I want you to go home and I want you to write down 5 to 10 things, positive things about your wife every day. He's like, okay, I don't see how that's going to help. She's the one with the problem. She's the one that's depressed, but I'll do it. So he goes home, he starts to write down that first day, 5 things. The next day, a few more things, 10 things, every single day. And they tell the story saying in just a few weeks, our whole marriage was turned around. We went from being miserable, and it seems like a small thing, right? How long would it take you to write 5 things about your spouse on a piece of paper that no one else sees? He says the whole marriage was turned around. It went from being miserable to happy. My wife went from wanting not even to live anymore to being the happy woman that I married. Why? Because rather than being critical and thinking those negative things about his wife and his wife perceiving that and getting her down, as the husband chose to think on the positive things, as he focused on the positive things about her, that came out. She could see it. Even if he didn't say it, she could sense it, and it ended up changing their whole marriage. So I want to encourage us as wives to focus on the positive qualities. You might have a whole list of negative ones, but to focus on the positive and just watch how our feelings begin to change. Watch how your feelings begin to change about him. But what else? How else can we really practically respect our husbands? I don't know if men, if you've noticed this before, but women are good at talking. Is that true? Women are good at talking. Zach told me one time, I feel like we could have a reality TV show. And I was like, why do you say that? We don't even have a TV. We don't watch TV. He said, I don't know. You just talk so much. It's like you have a whole commentary on life. You just keep people entertained. Unfortunately, though, ladies, how often does our gift for talking come out and nagging our husbands, correcting our husbands, interrupting our husbands. And you know, if we're talking about respect, respect really does just the opposite, right? Even when he forgets to take out the trash, even when he's not telling a story right, even when he's slow to speak, we're called to respect our husband. And any guy will tell you, if their wife is constantly nagging them, correcting them, interrupting them, they feel disrespected. It's just how it goes. Another thing, men have an inborn desire to lead. They have an inborn desire to work. They have an inborn desire to provide for their family. And you'll notice this because men often identify with their work. If two men meet for the first time, they've never talked before, very often the first question will be, "So what do you do?" And they start talking about work, right? So if God has wired our men to be this way, if God has wired our men to provide, to achieve, to work, to take care of, how can we respect? And I want to just put a couple of these on the screen for you because we're just going to go through them quickly here. But we can tell him how much we value his work. We can express our faith in him regarding his job. We can be interested in what's happening at his work. Rather than him coming home and us just wanting to dump all the garbage from our day about how we got cut off, how the kids were coming late out of school, how it made us late for our appointment, blah, 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 blah. What if we were interested in actually what's happening at his work? If that's what God has put in him, this is a way we can show him major respect. Don't compare him to other men. Never put down his job or how much he makes. But instead, praise him for his commitment to provide. That's what I find so inspiring about that story of Evie Hill's wife. She wasn't in a situation where they had a lot of stuff, but yet she praised him for his commitment to provide. Here he was trying his hardest, and she respected that. She honored that. Be there to support, encourage, and lift him up after a hard day. What husband wouldn't want that? What husband wouldn't want to come home from a rough day at the office to have a wife who just is there to encourage? Maybe it's not even to talk, but just to sit there and listen. To affirm her belief in you. To show her that she supports you, that she supports your ideas. And talking about ideas, men have ideas. Men have input. Men have intelligence. God has made husbands to be problem solvers. And I know sometimes that's frustrating to us as ladies, but that's the truth. And personally, I hate it that TV, movies, culture, do you know how they always portray the husbands? Fat, lazy, ignorant, dumb, just sitting in front of the TV. Have you noticed this? This is how TV, and I have to wonder, what are we teaching our little boys? What are we teaching the young men of our society that this is what a dad is supposed to be like? This is what a husband is supposed to be like? Just to come home, to be served, to be lazy, ignorant. The mom is the one smart, making all the decisions. We can show a lot of respect to our husbands when we appreciate their advice. Men are smart guys. We can show a lot of respect when we affirm their good ideas in front of our kids or others. And we can ask for their input. I've had to learn this one because I'm kind of the social person, more social, I'd say, than between Zach and I. And it's really easy for me to sign us up for things, to commit us to going places, to doing things. We'll have a group of friends, and they say, "Hey, do you guys want to come with us to do this or that?" "Oh, yeah, I'll sign us up. I'll make plans for us," without even thinking to ask him. And it's not because I don't want to hear it. I just don't even think about it. But I've learned that I can show him respect just by asking him what he wants to do. "Hey, so-and-so invited us over. Do you want to go? Hey, should we have so-and-so over?" Just asking his input can show him so much respect. Many times, honestly, his response is, "Oh, whatever you want to do is fine." "Sure. Oh, you want to go over? Oh, yeah, okay, we can go." Often it's he puts it back to whatever I want to do, but I've learned that just by going to ask his input, just by valuing his advice, he feels so respected. And yes, ladies, the part we probably don't want to hear is that respect involves submission. 5 times in the New Testament, wives are called to submit to their husbands. And it's really interesting when you look at the Greek grammar of this word, hypotasso, which probably in your Bible is translated submit or subject. It's in the middle voice, meaning voluntary submission. To submit oneself would be the best translation for that. This idea that I voluntarily submit, I voluntarily defer to you, I voluntarily surrender my rights and my will when we can't make a decision, when we can't get along, to yours. Husbands, let's remember what Pastor Brian talked about last week. This is not the husbands forcing their wives to submit, but if you remember, Pastor Brian talked about when we truly love, it's with this self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ. But wives were called to voluntarily yield in love. Candace Cameron Bure, she was an actress on Full House, and she's now a devoted speaker, a Christian author. She recently published a book called Balancing It All, where she talks about her whole life and her different story. And she's actually gotten a lot of flack from this one statement in her book. And I want to just read it together, put it on the screen so it's a little easier to focus in on. She says this in her book. My husband is a natural-born leader. I quickly learned that I had to find a way of honoring his take-charge personality and not get frustrated about his desire to have the final decision on just about everything. I'm not a passive person, but I chose to fall into a more submissive role in our relationship because I wanted to do everything in my power to make my marriage and family work. Well, as you can imagine, this started to get some flack, and as she was interviewed in different places promoting her book, she was questioned about this statement. And it was actually the following statement, the one I'm going to put on the screen now, that was so powerful to me. So I want to encourage you to zone in. Listen to what she's saying here. She says, the definition that I'm using with the word submissive is the biblical definition of that. It's meekness, not weakness. It's strength under control. It's bridled strength. She continued, I love that my man is a leader. I want him to lead. I want him to be the head of our family. And those major decisions, they do fall on him. It doesn't mean I don't voice my opinion. It doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion. I absolutely do. But it's very difficult to have two heads of authority. Then catch this. This is what we're talking about. Ephesians 5:33. She says, clearly, I have been married for 17 years, and we have a very happy marriage, and it works very well. I trust my husband, but that trust has been built. And I know that because I trust him and I build him up and I give him the respect that he would like within marriage, that he listens to everything I have to say and takes my opinion very seriously. And many of the times, he'll sway to what I would like, even if he doesn't see eye to eye with me, just because he values my opinion. You know, I begin to realize that she's so right. She's so right. You know, if we're in a discussion and we just can't seem to make headway, the Bible tells us what to do. But so many times, if we'll just apply this Ephesians 5:33 principle, where we choose to respect our husband, and in turn, our husband is choosing to love us in a self-sacrificing, giving kind of way, and out of seeing that love, we just want to respect him, we want to honor him, we want to lift him up, so many feuds will be dismissed right there. Have you found that? Things don't have to turn ugly. Things don't have to turn nasty. You don't have to feel like you're not valued. You can just compromise. You can talk about it. You can decide. You can respectfully share your opinion. And so often, when this principle, that's why I believe it's such a key to a happy marriage, is actually used, so much success can happen. But when a final call has to be made, husbands, God has called you to lead. God has called you. God has given you that responsibility to make that final call. Not to just do what you want and put your wife down, but make a call as Christ does for us. And wives, we're called to submit to that. And I know this might sound crazy. It might sound archaic. We live in a modern women's lib type of world. And I'm not saying that wives can't have an opinion. I'm not saying that men are to make every decision. I'm not saying that wives can't respectfully disagree. But respect calls us to willingly accept our husband's leadership. Husbands, love your wives. And wives, respect your husbands. If it gets to that point, we're called to willingly defer, to surrender our will to that of our husbands. And it can be such a powerful thing. But how else can we show respect to our husbands? A few more practical things to take out as you leave today. Choose joy instead of being thankful. Choose joy and be thankful versus whining and complaining. I remember one time, I don't even know what it was. I can't remember. I had a stiff neck. My head hurt something. I just kept telling Zach, it just hurts. It just hurts. It just hurts. He finally said, I know it hurts, but I cannot take any more of the complaining. And I find so often that rather than choosing joy, rather than being thankful, it's whining and complaining. We can honor his wishes. We can honor his preferences. My guess is that if you ask your husbands, he has preferences in what you do, in what you wear, in what you make, and how you spend your time. You know, there are certain things that Zach doesn't like. And out of respect for him, I choose not to do that. And it's not that I feel limited, like, oh, I can't do the things I want, I can't wear the things I want. But I honor his preferences. And you know what? When it comes to him, he honors mine back. Zach has a preference in going to bed a lot earlier than I do. And earlier this year, I was reading an article that said the top 10 things that happy couples do. I thought, oh, this looks good, so I read it. First thing on the list, go to bed at the same time. Ugh, never been good at that one. Zach's always the person that he'll go to bed early, real disciplined. He'll wake up early, early in the morning. He'll have his worship. He'll get his stuff done. Well, me, I don't trust myself to wake up early enough. And so I'm always the one, I just got to finish that paper before I go to bed. Or just got to finish those slides for church. Or just got to be prepared for tomorrow. Just so I know if I wake up right before I've got to run, I'll have everything done. Well, I read the article, number one, go to bed at the same time. I was like, okay, I'm going to try. And so one night, Zach was headed to bed. He said, well, I guess I'm headed to bed. And just, I don't know, kind of nonchalant. I said, okay, me too. And he turned around, he said, really? Wow! Yay! He was so happy. And it's really the little things, isn't it? It's the little things that can show so much respect. Like giving him your undivided attention. A friend told me this week, she said, my husband feels so respected when I put my phone down when he's trying to talk to me. And I was like, oh, guilty again, you know? How many times am I trying to do what women are prized at doing, of being a multitasker and trying to wash the dishes and text people back while listening to my husband and what he has to say? Give him your undivided attention. A couple more on the list here. Keep the house tidy. A friend of mine said, just a couple weeks ago, she said, my husband feels so loved. He feels so respected when he comes home and the house is in a mess. Yeah, I'm busy. Yeah, I have kids to take care of. Yeah, I have a lot of stuff going on. But if I can just do the simple thing of keeping the house just picked up, doesn't mean every spot on the floor is clean, but just having things picked up, he feels so respected. Another one, I don't have it on there, but I just want to share it, is to pray that God will really give you love for your husband. A lady told me once, she said, I was few months into my marriage and I begin to realize I don't even love this guy. She said he was so critical to me. He was so critical to our little boy, and I just thought, what am I going to do? I don't even love him. She said, at first I tried to be nice, and when he would say sarcastic things to me, I would try not even to respond. She said, but it was hard. And I got to the point, said, if this is what you want to do to me, I can dish it back out to you. She said, and you can imagine what that did. Didn't help things, but just made it worse and worse. She said, I got to the point that I begin to pray, God, you've got to give me love for this guy. I don't have it in myself. You've got to help me even love him. She said she took out a journal and she just started writing, God, help me to love my husband. God, help me to see this guy through your eyes. God, give me the love that I don't have for him. She said at one point I even felt impressed. She said I just started writing every negative thing down I could think about him. She said, I just wrote it down. She said, I kind of had a lot by the end. She said, but rather than thinking about it, I said, I'm just going to start praising God. I'm going to go through this list, and I'm going to thank him. I'm going to praise him for every negative thing. And then I thought, well, maybe I should write the positive things too. She said, I tried to write them, and I couldn't think of that many, but I wrote them down, every single one I could think of. She said, I started just praising God. Praising him for the negative stuff, praising him for the positive stuff. And she said, you know what that began to do? it began to foster love in my heart for my husband. She said, it didn't happen right away. It's not like do this in 10 days, you'll just love him like you never have before. But she said, over time, I begin to have love for my husband. So if you find yourself this morning in a spot where you're like, yeah, this would be nice to respect him, but you don't even understand. You don't know how he treats me. You don't know what we've been through the past 20, 30 years. I encourage you, wives, to start praying that prayer. God, give me love for my husband. Help me to see him through your eyes. Give me compassion. Give me grace. Give me love. Give me mercy for him when I don't have it. Couple more things. Keep the house tidy. Recognize his physical needs and respond. And this one is huge. Never, ever put him down. This happens all the time, women. We've got to be honest. But not when you're talking one-on-one. Not in public. Not in front of the kids. Not among your friends. Wives, we've really been given an awesome responsibility. We're the ones that through our actions, through our words, we can build up our husbands, we can support them, we can show them respect, we can help them be the men that God wants them to be. Or, like Proverbs 12:4, maybe you remember what we read there, we can shame them and be like rottenness in the bones. I don't even think I have to ask the question, but I will. Will we live our lives to build them up? Or will we keep dragging them down? Wally grew up in a broken home. He didn't even grow up knowing his real dad. He never felt loved. He never really felt accepted. He took training to be a printer, and halfway through the schooling, he felt a call to do something else. He felt a call to do ministry instead. He was in class one day, and a friend of his commented on his girlfriend. He said, hey, if you marry her, you're never going to be a success in ministry. He turned around. He said, hey, I'll choose my own wife and you choose yours. Well, they got married, but his finances didn't provide for much. They lived in a tiny little place. She ended up washing their dishes and their clothes in the bathtub. They cooked on one little hot plate on top of a wooden crate. Their only pots and pans also fit inside that crate. Not much at all. But not long passed before they found themselves not only in kind of a tough living situation, but in a tough work situation. While he wasn't being treated well, he was feeling depressed. And it got to the point where he said, forget it. This is too hard. This is too unfair. I'm just going to quit. His wife would see him looking in the newspaper at the job listings, saying, maybe I could do one of these. Maybe I could do something else. But it was his wife who stood behind him and said, you will not quit. God has called you to this. I will not let you quit. While he went on to become a successful pastor, he went on to serve in all different levels of church administration. He went on to chair hospital boards around the country, including Loma Linda University. He watched God's work go forward in amazing ways around the country. I was actually privileged to know this guy. We called him Grandpa Co. He was Zach's grandpa. As I heard his experiences, as I heard those early years, the stories, it was so clear. His wife had made all the difference. Let's pray together. Dear God, you've put something so incredible in front of us. As wives, you've called us to the important role of supporting, of uplifting, of loving, of respecting our husbands. God, I want to pray that we would be the wife that makes all of the difference. I want to pray that as we plug in this love and respect principle into our marriages, that we would see growth, that we would see healing, that we'd see reconciliation, that we would begin to see our marriages thrive and not just survive. God, I pray that you would give us the love and the respect when we don't have it. And Father, we look forward to what you will do in our relationships in these next few weeks, also into the future. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you this week as you go out to respect, to support, to love, and to build up one another. God bless you.